a little bit, and usually when it breaks up, that's when the coughing comes. Does anybody else feel that way? So I've got some cough drops here. I got a whole bag. There's a whole bag on the front pew. So if you start coughing, just get out of your seat, come down the front pew, get a cough drop, and go back. I'd rather you do that than leave, okay? So you just do that if you need to do that there. So I'm in Matthew chapter 2. Again, I just want to, I don't have an outline with all kinds of alliterations or whatever. I just want to keep it simple. I don't want to go long. We've got a lot to do today with board meetings and with the church meeting and different things, an exciting day. And I always like to see and go through the hall over there and see the food bubbling and boiling, and it smells so good. And I was down in Sunday school and I thought, wow, there must be some really good smells upstairs, because I can smell it all the way down here. Then I looked over and there was a crock pot sitting beside me. I thought the food was just wafting down the stairs from upstairs, and there was a crock pot sitting there beside me. But that's okay. I didn't touch it. I let it alone there. But what a great day. And I hope you'll stay. We got plenty of food. And again, even if we run out of food, there's enough that you'll have adequate. Does that make sense to you? It's okay to run out as long as you had enough before we did. And I'm sure we will. I'm in Matthew chapter 2. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank you that you love us. And Lord, your love was shown extremely, that while we were yet sinners, you sent Jesus Christ to come down into this world. Again, as the hymn writer said, Charles Wesley, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Lord, when we could look at Jesus Christ, when those shepherds came in and when those wise men showed up, when they looked at that baby, they were looking into the face of God. And we thank you that God came down because he is the only acceptable sacrifice that could be offered for the sins of all mankind, which Jesus Christ willingly gave himself up to do. Thank you that salvation started, Lord, long before the foundation of the earth, but Lord, it was completed at the cross in Jesus Christ. And there's nothing more to do, and it's given as a gift. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, help us to keep that important part of Christmas, that the gift of Jesus Christ was not there so that we can have a fun time of frivolity, but Lord, it is also a serious time that we can look to Jesus and worship him. Help us to do that this Christmas in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I had Aaron read Matthew chapter 2, not because I'm preaching on Matthew chapter 2 today. I'm not. And in fact, for next week, I am preaching on Luke chapter 2. I got to thinking, how long has it been since I really did a sermon on Luke chapter 2? And a lot of times, you don't preach on Luke chapter 2 because everybody knows it. And what can I say that some preacher hasn't already said? And the answer is nothing. But it's good to go back over it. So this week, I hope you read the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2 a number of times in preparation for the sermon next week. Or maybe you could do it this way. If you were to preach Luke chapter 2, what would your sermon look like? See if I can match up to what you did, or see if we'd be totally on different pages on that. But I'll be preaching. But here's why I turned to Matthew chapter 2, to get the wise men's view. Because when I was thinking about taking Jesus seriously, these are people that took Jesus seriously. When you look at the people that are mentioned here, the wise men, I don't know how many wise men there were. We usually say three because they brought what? Three gifts. And we believe that each wise man brought a gift, okay? And so therefore, they brought one gift apiece, and so it makes three. The math works out. It could have been two, and they just bought three gifts, okay? It could have been six, and they just brought three gifts. I don't know. But I do believe that the entourage was bigger than just three men. I believe there was a huge caravan that showed up that day, again, when they came into Jerusalem, and then finally when they went down to Bethlehem. But we say three wise men. But here's the point that I was making. These men took Christmas seriously. They took the birth of Jesus seriously. For what they did when they saw the star, I believe that star referred them back into the book of Deuteronomy with the prophecies of Balaam. So much we say about Balaam as a bad guy, but when God spoke through him, he said some really good things. And I believe they were familiar with the prophecies of Balaam. And when they saw that star, they said, this is what Balaam was talking about in the books of Moses. The king is born. He's a Jew. Where would a good Jewish king be born? Jerusalem. Let's go and find him. They took it really seriously. They took a long journey for that day. For us to say, oh, the journey was, you know, a couple of hundred miles. How often do we jump in the car and take off a couple of hundred miles, and we don't think it was that far of a journey? I tell people this. Just imagine the next time you're traveling some of these nice highways in Pennsylvania. If I was walking right now, without this road being here, what would I be traveling through? Okay? I tell people, just leaving to go from Bellefonte to Snowshoe. Okay? Some of you drive up there every day. Jason, you drive up there every day. Okay? It'd be a day's journey to wander through the woods up the hollow to get up to there. And these men took it seriously. It was a long journey. Not only what is a journey that took a lot of their time, I believe the gift they offered, it was a great wealthy gift. I believe it was a very wealthy gift. I'm under the impression, I really am, okay, that when the gift of gold, frankincense, and myrrh came in. You're looking for them, are you? Take three then, okay. Pass them out. But I believe that when the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh came in, now watch this. The income and financial level of Mary and Joseph went from poverty to rich. Now, I don't believe the wise men showed up at the manger. Because when Jesus was of age, and they had to take him to the presentation at the temple, as every good Jewish boy who was firstborn had to be presented. Remember they took him up there? They offered the offering of poor people. Did you know that? I believe that after that presentation, sometime when they moved into a house, then the wise men showed up, and Mary and Joseph were no longer poor. They were very wealthy people, and I believe that these gifts were able to sustain them for a long time. After all, a few days after the wise men showed up, they had to take a journey to where? Egypt. How are we going to go to Egypt? Joseph, how are we going to pay for this? What's all going to be taken care of? You know what? God supplied through the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Though those gifts were significant about Jesus' ministry and what he was doing on this earth, they also were gifts given to the parents that, hey, we have to go down to Egypt. They take gold down there. Okay? They take gold. We don't have to worry about having the wrong kind of bills in our wallet. They take everything. And so these men, it took a long time for them to come find the king. It took great wealth, I believe, for them to come and do it. They took Christmas seriously. But there's somebody else here that takes Christmas seriously. You know what his name is? Herod. When he'd heard that the king of the Jews was born, he didn't just say what? Ah, no big deal. I can handle this. This is no problem. It's just a baby. I don't care about baby being born. There's no threat to me. When he heard that the king of the Jews was born, he took it seriously. Now, if you know a little bit, and this is not a sermon about Herod, Herod was pretty much a usurper of the Jewish throne. He was not a Jew. If he was Jewish, it was just a little bit of him that was. The proper name for what he was an Idumean. Okay? He was not Jewish. So here is an Idumean sitting on the throne of the Jews. He's trying to take the title King of the Jews when he himself, what? Is not one. So all of a sudden, when he's heard a King of the Jews has been born, he realizes what? There is now a legitimate heir to the throne that was just born. And when these people figure out who he is, they're going to want to make him king, and I'm going to go away. So Herod knew this was serious. This boy who was born was destined to be the king of the Jews. And by the way, before he was born, his mother was told, he shall sit on the throne of his father David, and of the increase of his kingdom there shall be no end. So once he becomes the king and sits on the throne, he will never get off that throne. He will reign and rule forever. And he took it seriously. So serious that he wanted this boy dead, and he commanded his soldiers to commit a massacre down in the area of Judea and Judah, and trying to get this boy killed. However, he couldn't get hold of him. He was already whisked away safe to Egypt. But he took it real serious. The other word that comes up when I read this Matthew chapter 2 passage that comes up, you find it in verse 2. Again, we saw his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. Now, I know that Herod is going to say in verse 8, you go ahead and find the young child, bring me word again, because I want to come and worship. That was a lie. Okay? However, the the wise men, it wasn't a lie. Because when they finally, in verse 11, found the young boy, child with his mother Mary, okay, they came in, they fell down and did what? Worshipped him. Again, they took it serious. Do you know what worship is? I hope you know what worship is. Again, if you can kind of in your mind do this, you have the word worship, okay? But also from that, you see the word worth. It's a claiming the true worth to somebody for who they are. A claiming true worth. And when you stop and look at this, later in the book of Revelation, we'll be there, I believe, at the great scene in heaven, and we are going to sing the song, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and power and riches." You know what? When all those are given to Jesus, the honor and glory and power and riches are given to Jesus, nobody's going to say, why were all these things given to him? We're all going to know he was worthy to receive them. You know, if they were to come up to you and I and say, oh, here are some wonderful presents for you, we would look and go, what? Oh, why are you giving them to me? Because we're not worthy. We don't deserve anything. But you'll notice here, when all this is given to him, nobody will question his worth. He is worthy to be praised. And again, these men said, we are looking for the Christ child, and when we find him, we're going to worship him. I love before the word worship, when you go there to verse 11, they came in and they, what's the next two words? Fell down. Here are men who are kings of the East, wise men, men of power, definitely men of position and possessions. And yet when they come in front of this young child, they fall down, realizing he is so worthy. And they are giving him the worship and the praise and the worth that is due his name. And that's what they're serious about. We're serious about it. I want to give you a couple practical things here that when Christmas is here this year, and as you do this, that'll help you to keep Christ in Christmas, to make sure that Christmas is all about Christ, to keep him preeminent in this Christmas season, and make him number one. Just a few practical things, again, that I think we could do. Okay, that I think we do. Number one, I've already said it, this Christmas season, let's worship him more than we ever have. Let's just worship him. I mean, tell other people how great this baby who was born in Bethlehem, tell them how great things he has done for you. Start with dying on the cross and paying for your sins. Find somebody. Now, can I tell you this? Even Christians like to hear that story over and over. How'd the songwriter say it? I love to tell the story to those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to what? Hear it like the rest. Can I tell you something? All right? I'm just going to tell you this. I have been with a lot of Christians before their death or even at their death. And when you go in there and death seems very close, very imminent, and you say, you know what? I just want to read some scriptures and I want to read some scripture about Jesus. Can I just read some scriptures about Jesus? And sometimes I turn to John chapter 10 and read about Jesus being the good shepherd. Sometimes I just read, again, a story of feeding the 5,000. I just want to read a story about Jesus. I've never had a person who've been a Christian all their life who said, Pastor, hold, stop. I'm getting ready to die. I don't want to hear about Jesus. I've never had anybody do that. You know, that I know is a wonderful Christian. They would say, you know what? That's what I want you to tell me about. Just tell me about Jesus. Or maybe I'll quote for them the 23rd Psalm. I've never had anybody say, Pastor, I've heard that Psalm 1,000 times in my lifetime. I don't want to hear that now. Those who know it best want to hear it more. And so if you say, well, I need to tell somebody about Jesus. Well, find somebody who doesn't know him. Or maybe somebody who's never accepting him as their Savior. Find somebody that's not walking with him. But you know what? Sit down with somebody who knows Jesus and say, hey, can I just tell you a little bit about Jesus? And I don't think they'll look at you and go, you know what, I'm tired of hearing about him. Let's move on to baseball or something else. They're going to want to hear it. Let's start talking about Jesus more and more. I mean, why don't you sit down and tell somebody, you know what Jesus did for me this past year? and give some testimonies to some answers to prayer, or how God has taken care of you, or some guy, something that God has done very special for you. We need to worship Him more. Let's talk about Jesus. What's the songwriter say? Let's talk about Jesus, what? More and more. Let's stop talking about this, the things of life that really don't have. Now, we're allowed to talk about things, and I do. But this Christmas season, let's just step it up on Jesus. Can we do that? Let's talk about Him a little bit more. Jason gave something the other day when you were up here. He said, you know what? We ought to sing hymns more. Where you work, where you are, just start singing hymns. I thought, well, Jason said to do it. I'll try it. Okay. I was in the White Store the other day, so I just started going down the aisle singing the first Noel. I started singing. And then a lady said to me, that's one of my favorite hymns. And I was like, sorry, I messed it up so bad for you. But I just started singing the first Noel. You know, I didn't know what else to sing, so I sang the first Noel. I thought, you know what, I'm just going to sing a little bit more so people can hear me or whatever. And sure enough, I had people hear me sing, and they say, hey, thank you. Oh, I love that song. I didn't have anybody yet say what? Be quiet. Stop that. I haven't had anybody do it. So again, if you're in the store and you're walking by yourself, sing a little bit. It's okay. All right? People may think you're crazy, but that's all right. Hey, you know what? Let's just be crazy for Christ. Let's just be fools for Christ. If people think, well, that person's crazy. He was singing, oh, come all you faithful. Sounds good to me. Oh, come let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. So let's step it up in worship this Christmas season. Let's talk about Jesus a little more. Let's give Him the honor and praise due His name. He's worth it. Number two, just practical. Okay, now some of you are going to say amen, and some of you are going to say, oh my. Okay, parents may be saying amen. Kids will be saying, oh my. Watch this. Let's spend a little bit less on presents this year. Okay? Now, the parents are all saying what? Well, amen. All the kids are saying what? Oh my. Now, here, I got a question for you. And again, I just did some thinking. What was the number one Christmas present you got last year? You have no idea. You have no idea. What was the second best present you got last year? What was the fifth present you got last year? You know what? When it comes down to it, and all of us say it, and we know it's true, we buy these presents, we put a lot of money into them, and 2 days after Christmas, somebody tell me about these wonderful presents. They're broken, parts lost, and nothing working, and the kids are sun playing with them already, right? I'm going with the kids, but we as adults, we're about the same way, are we not? Sometimes, again, and this is where I'm going with this, we want to lift up Jesus more. One of the things that captivates Christmas is presents. Okay? I'm not saying, now don't go away from here and tell your kids, you know, did you hear Pastor speak this morning? He said no presents this year. Okay? No. Presents are good. I like presents. It's fine. But let's just take the emphasis on presents and do what? Let's just drop it down a notch. Can we do that? Watch this. Some people's Visas and MasterCard bills would enjoy that. Just step it down. If you're saying, you know what, I don't have the money to buy that for my child this year, it's going to strap us financially, I would say scrap the idea. Okay? Scrap the idea. Don't you go out and start putting things on credit cards for people because 2 days later, the present that you put all that money into, it's lost, broken, gone. What? I'm right about this. Okay? Now, if you want to step up presents for anybody, step them up for me. No, don't do that. Okay? I mean, I'm going to tell you how it is. Really. My dad the other day said, son, I don't know what to get you for Christmas. And it's not like something came to my mind. Why would I make somebody go out and spend a lot of money on something that just wasn't even in the front of my mind? Am I right about that? I mean, it's like, what do you need for Christmas? Folks, don't go out in debt to get me something that right now I can't even think I need. Does that make sense? Okay? I mean, and for some people, I've heard people say, well, I just don't know what to buy for my parents. Okay? Now, I tell people, I've said this for years, okay? And my dad, he's so bad. Because he says stuff, you know, you come up to Christmas and he goes, you know what I'd really like for Christmas? I'd like a new, and he might say, I'd like a new snow shovel. You're thinking, you know what, Dad needs a new snow shovel. You know what? When he said, I need a new snow shovel, that means tomorrow he's buying the snow shovel. So when you get him the new snow shovel, he'll go, why'd you buy me that? I just bought one. You know what I'm saying? I tell people, stop buying possessions for people that have it all. Buy them an experience. And gift cards are the best. Does that make sense to you? Gift cards buy experience, okay? possessions, we don't know what to do. So I tell people, so the old question, what do you buy for somebody that has everything? The answer is, you don't buy them a thing, you buy them an experience. Okay? Find out what their favorite restaurant is, get them a gift card, it's an experience. That's better than buying them something that they don't need or want, because you didn't know what they wanted anyway. Am I right about that? Boy, Pastor, you're being so smart this morning, giving us so much wisdom. Give an experience, don't give a present or whatever. But again, just take what is gifts and just take it down a notch. Don't go further in the debt because so-and-so's got to have something. No, they don't have to have it. Okay? They don't have to have it. I'll give you this. I'll move on to the third point. Folks, some of the churches I pastored, I didn't have two nickels to rub together. Okay? We have a tradition in our house that we give out on Christmas Eve a plate of cookies and a glass of water. That's what we give Santa. He gets cookies and water, because there was a Christmas at our house. When we went to put out cookies and milk for Santa, we didn't have any milk in the house. We had no money to go buy milk. And so I told the kids, Santa is so sick of milk by the time he gets to our house, we're going to give him water. Can I tell you what kind of Christmas we had at our house, at a house that couldn't even buy milk? We didn't have a whole lot of presents. And we found out a long time ago, giving our kids presents was overrated. They want it number three. Number one, let's lift up Jesus more and worship him. Number two, let's de-emphasize presents just a little bit. Okay, don't get rid of them, but don't emphasize them quite as much. Number three, give more. Well, Pastor, you said cut down on presents. Now number three is give more. Folks, don't give more presents. Give more of you. Give more of you. Okay? And that's really what people want. I just know I did this. My kids are, 31 and 27 now. So we have had discussions as we were raising you. What things did we do right? What did we do wrong? What stood out in your mind? What was, and the whole reason we talk to them is now that, at least one of them's a parent. But now that they're parents, they know, okay, this is what mom and dad did. It really wasn't the best. Don't do that. But this is what mom and dad did. We need to be doing it. And we said to the kids one time, as you think back on the childhoods we were raising you, things like this, what were the greatest things you remember? Do you know what? Not one of them said, oh, that Christmas present you gave me. Not one Christmas present made the list of great things that we did or that they remember as being raised. Not one Christmas present made the list. You know what made the list? Doing things together as a family. Boom! Number one, big time. Big time. Doing things as a family. So when I say give more, instead of buying somebody presents that they don't need or don't want anyway, give yourself. Do things with people. Here's the strange one. Go out on a limb. Invite a family over to your church, over to your house. Just invite somebody over to your house that you haven't had over. You don't have to put on a big meal. Just bring them over. Play some games. Have some fun. Just sit and talk. Boy, that was so neat to go over to their house and watch this. Something I'll never forget, that one Christmas when we went over to so-and-so's house. Never will forget that. That was so neat. What a special time. And again, we had our little traditions. Again, I don't know what you do or whatever. Our family tradition when we were here in Pennsylvania was we went to South Williamsport to see Candy Cane Lane. We always took our kids to Candy. We took you guys up there one time, okay? We went to Candy Cane Lane. And before that, we went to Bonanza Steakhouse. And then after the Bonanza Steakhouse, we went shopping at a Walmart or the mall, went to a Bonanza Steakhouse, and then we went over to Candy Cane Lane and we went home. And my kids remember, that Candy Cane Lane, that was so neat. Yeah, you remember we went in the van the one year and it snowed and we couldn't get up the hill? And that was so neat. You know, that was great. You know, and even the people at Bonanza, the one year the guy came in and said, you know what? We all know you're coming. You guys come here every year on Christmas Eve. We know that you come every Christmas Eve. And I said, we got a family tradition and we love it. Okay? Sure enough, my daughter's got kids. Hey, Dad, guess what we need to do this year? Yeah, we do. Okay? Except we found a place better than Candy Cane Lane. Okay? It's Lights on the Lake. Has anybody been to Lights on the Lake? Okay? It's closer to their house. So we go to Lights on the Lake. Go find a place to eat. Experience. Give more. Take some nights and go do things with people. Okay? Instead of sitting home and watching. Folks, I've seen all the Hallmark movies now, I think. I've seen them all, except the new one that's coming out tonight or whatever. Give more. Do things with people. Again, it's experience. It's just family together. It's people doing things together. That's what makes Christmas special. Can I tell you that? Watch this, okay? Watch this. You can give me all the presents under the tree, and if you give me a Christmas season where I spend it with nobody, what a lousy Christmas. What a lousy Christmas. I guarantee you what's the best present I'm going to get this year. My son's coming home on New Year, on Christmas Eve. Could I ask for anything better? And he said this, the dummy. He is so dumb. He said to me, I got real cheap plane tickets to come home on Christmas Eve. I'm sorry to ruin your Christmas Eve. He wasn't thinking, was he? If he's a parent, he'd understand. The best Christmas Eve I could have is doing what? Driving to an airport and picking him up. Because, folks, it's about people. Number one, let's step up Jesus. Let's worship him more. Talk more about him. Sing wherever you are. Number two, again, step down on presents. It's not about presents. It really isn't. Number three, give more. Give more of yourself. Okay? To other people. Have people over. Okay? Do things. Hey, you know, just whatever. Just do things with people. It's more about people, is it not? Okay? Number four. And you might say, well, that goes with number three, but it does. But I'm just going to put the words in there. Love more. Love more. I'm going to give you something from a man that I don't even know if he's a Christian. Somebody research it. Tell me if he is. I don't know. But he came up with a statement on Twitter this week. Then I don't get Twitter, but I knew he did it. But his name's Cam Newton. Some of you know Cam Newton. He's a pretty good football player, okay? His team's not doing too good this year, but he's a pretty good football player. But if you remember about a week or so ago, what happened to Cam Newton? He was in a really bad car accident, okay? It wasn't his fault. It was a good thing that he was in a four-wheel drive big truck that sat up pretty high, his pickup truck. It would look like something that the Saxons would drive, okay? Big tires, jacked up. You know what I'm talking about, Brett, okay? You guys, big tires, jacked up, but it was a four-door, it was a big thing. But folks, after the accident, there was a picture online, and it basically said, how did anybody live through this wreck? That's what it said, this big truck. Because it looked to me like it got rolled in, but somebody hit him really hard, okay? And it wasn't his fault at all. He came out of it, broke two bones in his back or whatever. He's not playing this week. They don't know if he'll play much next week, but, I mean, he's off. He's out. He's hurt pretty bad and all that. And you're thinking, here's a football player. He's in the prime of his life. He's in the prime of the season. I mean, this is everything. And all of a sudden, somebody makes a mistake, hits his truck, totals the truck, hurts him bad. He's in the hospital, broken back, and a few other things. And he tweets out this. This is what he tweets out. Live. Love. Forgive. And he said, I forgive those people. I hold nothing against them. I mean, I'm sure he'll get his truck back through insurance. I'm sure that'll all come back. And for him, he makes enough money that that's not a big problem. But you know, everybody's probably thinking, well, here's Cam Newton. He's off the football field. I bet you if he could get his hands around those people's necks, he'd like to just... And it's basically, life is living and loving and what? Forgiving. Now, I preached a sermon. It wasn't that long ago. But folks, if you take forgiveness out of the Christian life, you have no Christian life. Because if Jesus doesn't forgive us for our sins, we've got nothing left except hell waiting for us. Because the penalties are there that have to be paid from the debt that we owe. But he absolutely forgives the debt, the sin debt, and forgives us. And doesn't the Bible say, because the Heavenly Father has forgiven us, so we should go do what? Forgive others. And again, I don't know if Cam Newton's a Christian. I don't know if he is. Maybe somebody can find it online this week and tell me, hey, we think he is. Here's a testimony we found. I don't even know if he's a Christian. But you know what? If a non-Christian understands something about forgiveness, shouldn't we as Christians really understand it? And if a non-Christian who really hasn't been forgiven like the Heavenly Father has forgiven us, can forgive other people, then those of us that have been forgiven the huge debt against us, shouldn't it be easy for us to what? Forgive. And so, again, what I put out there is, you know what, there may be somebody that you're holding a grudge against, or you're just having trouble with, or it's just bothering you. This Christmas, if you really want to live and love, just forgive. Erase the debt. Let it go. Go back to zero. Don't hold things against people. That's what Christmas is all about. It was the beginning of the plan of God so that he could set in motion that which would it take so that we could be forgiven for our sins. And I would think one of the greatest ways that we can tell people that we really are serious about Christmas
is forgive people. Just forgive. And I know that people will say, well, Pastor, if you were me and you realized what this person did, I don't think you'd be able to forgive them. Humanly speaking, you're right. After looking at the love of God and the forgiveness of God towards me, when I really start to understand what He did for me, yeah, I will be able to. Yeah, I will be able to. I know I can. As long as I keep my eyes on Jesus, He'll let me forgive. And by the way, with you saying that, then you act like nobody's ever done anything to me that's been tough, right? Just let it go. Just forgive. That's what Christmas is all about. Let's get serious about Christmas. Let's make Christmas what it really needs to be. Number one, let's put Jesus higher on the list. Let's worship Him more. Number two, presents. Let's go down a little bit. Let's go down, okay? And by the way, if you're saying, well, I don't know how I'm going to buy all these presents for these kids this year. We just don't seem to have the money. That's the answer. You don't have the money. You don't have the money. Okay? Go give them a ball. Balls aren't worth much. Okay? But you can have a whole lot of fun with a ball. Okay? Whole lot of fun with a ball. Okay? Again, presents down a little bit. Again, when you're done with that, give more. More yourself. Do things together. Okay? Do things. That'll be fine. You can have fun with that. And then last of all, live, love, forgive. That's what Christmas is all about. So let's keep Christ in Christmas. And if we do, I think these four practical points will be things that we can do to make our Christmas the best Christmas it's ever been. And by the way, and I put this out here all the time. If you say, Pastor, there's nobody that wants to have us over to their house. There's nobody that we... Come see us. Come see us. Okay? I'll take you to Candy Cane Lane. Okay? By the way, the Bonanza isn't open on Christmas Eve anymore. What a bummer. Okay? But the King's Buffet down the street, they're doing pretty good. So we know where that is now. Okay? Big old Chinese restaurant. And that's a pretty good place. So, yeah, we go there. But Bonanza's closed now. And I say, I wonder if it broke their heart. Oh, we're going to close Bonanza and the poor Gilball family won't have anywhere to go. But you see us if you're looking for something to do. And the first invitation is Thursday from 2 to 4. Come over and get some cookies. God's golden servants. You're God's golden servants if you're available that hour and you can come on over. Father, I pray that we'll do better with Jesus in Christmas. And Lord, we'll just exalt Him above measure and talk to Him. Again, to our children. And Lord, we won't just read the Christmas story once. We'll read it a number of times just to make sure we understand the great love that was shown at Christmas there in Bethlehem in a manger. Lord, I pray that we'll devaluate presents. Lord, it's good to give to others, and I understand that. But sometimes, Lord, we give things that really weren't needed at all. We run ourselves into debt, and we think that these presents will make us happy, and they don't. So, Lord, help us to de-emphasize that, because what really makes us happy is, Lord, giving to others, being with others, and sharing, and having a good time. And, Lord, most of all, loving people. And with that comes forgiveness. Help us to show Christ forgiveness this Christmas. And, Lord, truly, we'll have a great time of year. Again, thank you for Jesus that He came and died for us, that we can have everlasting life. In His name I pray. Amen.